It's good.
All right. All right, welcome to Security Guy Radio with Black Hat 2016 Las Vegas. What's your name, sir?
John Gunn.
And what's the name of your company?
Vasco Data Security.
And what does Vasco Data Security do?
We are the leader in helping banks protect online and mobile banking transactions.
The leader, that's good.
The leader. So if you globally. In fact, more than half of the top 100 banks around the world use our solutions to keep hackers from taking over online banking transactions. Do you do online banking?
Yes,
I used to.
Unfortunately, yes.
Do you do mobile banking?
Well, I used to do Quicken to check my accounts, and then I thought, you know what? I don't need to. I can wait until I get home, right? It was convenient and everything. But I'm a little nervous about it because the risk-benefit analysis to me is convenience over – not that I have any money in my bank account. But, you know, why bother going through all the paperwork? But this is what you work to solve, is this kind of thing.
Yes.
And I noticed on your website, you got like 8 out of the top banks in the world in there, or 9 of the top 10 banks. You get some big players in here.
We've got a lot of them.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of them. Yeah, half the top 100, and we've got about 1,700 and growing.
Now,
because hackers are attacking online and mobile banking increasingly.
Now, when did your company come of age and really start hitting this, you know, big time? Because mobile banking is, well, you know, in the age of things, it's fairly new in a way, right? Were the banks just not interested in security back then, thinking nothing's going to happen? Now they're saying, oh, crap, we should have been on that from the beginning.
You know, banks have always been very interested in security. They've always had a big focus on it. But for banks, it's always a balance because they want to keep their customers happy. And, you know, if you've ever been a long line at the TSA, you know, you dread security, but you want to be safe when you fly. But you have to go through TSA to fly. But if one bank makes a higher level of friction for you with security, you might switch banks.
That's interesting.
So banks have to balance that. How do I keep my customers happy? And how do I absorb the losses? Because they absorb the losses. I mean, if your money is stolen from your account, you don't lose it. The bank does.
Well, that's true.
So they have to balance that. But they've always had a big focus on security. And they do a lot of things behind the scene you're not seeing already. But the attacks have become more frequent, much more sophisticated.
Yeah.
So as the hackers have upped their game, the banks have had to do the same. So it's this technology chase.
So let's talk about the most recent hacks. I'm sure you're very aware of the SWIFT attacks. The New York Federal Reserve versus Bangladesh Central Banking. How has that impacted your business and or how are you helping to solve that problem?
That impacts our business in that people, that one doesn't direct our business as much as the attacks on mobile banking. And let me change that question around a little bit. There's been a huge rise in mobile banking. The Federal Reserve keeps track of that. KPMG just came out with a study on it. And mobile banking is becoming the number one channel. So banks suffer fraud through all types of channels. The one you mentioned, and they're doing transactions between banks. They suffer fraud at the ATM. They suffer fraud in branch, insiders. But we focus on the online channel, the mobile channel, and then also the ATM now as well. Our solutions are now used at the ATM. Imagine you're at your ATM getting money out. Hackers love to steal cards. In fact, right now you could go, if you could have access to the dark web, you could buy stolen ATM cards and pins, and you could go to the branches. You could even buy zip code, so you get a local branch. That way the bank's less likely to catch the fraud. So how does the bank stop that? Well, one way is to know if you have your mobile phone. Because I could buy your stolen ATM card, but I can't physically buy your phone. So there's a lot of new things we're doing to help banks reduce fraud.
It's like a key, your phone
it's
now.
Like a key.
I've seen that more and more. Quicken's very good at calling me after I log in. And I put a pin back in, and authentication. And I think it's a big pain in the butt, but I do it because it works, right?
Well, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
The pain in the butt. That's what I talked about earlier about. Banks want to avoid that pain in the butt.
Right.
So the idea is to do as much security in the background as possible. So our solution, what banks can do now is, if you're doing an online transaction, let's say a mobile transaction on your phone, I can do all kinds of things in the background. I can tell the bank about you. It's not a violation of privacy.
Right.
Okay.
But it raises a level of security and helps them identify fraud.
Can you share some of those back in?
I would love to.
Proprietary secrets, yes.
Thank you for asking. One of them is your geolocation. Is your phone in the location where you normally are? You know, usually people get money in ATM or doing a transaction where? At their home, at their work, maybe at a friend's house or at a lot.
So you're saying they normalize your behavioral.
Yes.
Analytics, I
guess
you could call that.
That's the word we use. Risk analysis.
Very good, Sharice.
there may be a place for you at Vasco. We need smart people. We're hiring like mad. So, but that's one of geolocation. The other one is just your device. is that really your phone? Hackers can clone your phone, make it look like your device. So we take a deep, deep look into the phone and say, is this really that phone? So the bank can say, if it's your phone in your location for the type of transaction you normally do, they can raise that. And they haven't made you put a pin in or anything like
that. No, you haven't done anything yet.
Yeah. Now, pins are still very valuable, but the more we can do in the background now, the more valuable that is.
It seems like a lot of latest identity technology is moving away from that two-factor authentication, the pin, the secret question, because they're finding studies that are ineffective in such a way that it's easy to fraudulently impersonate or gain access to that information. What are your thoughts on that?
You are well informed on that. That is a big problem. And that's an example of hackers keep getting better at defeating the current mechanisms. And it is a way to do that. So what we're doing is it goes beyond two-factor. It's called multi-factor. Those items I mentioned, checking the geolocation, checking the device, and other measures are all different levels of authentication.
Behind the scenes still.
Behind the scenes.
Before it gets to me, okay.
We now have selfie authentication or face recognition.
Oh, I've heard about that, yeah.
Within 2 years, every phone that ships will have biometrics. We can tell if you opened your phone with your finger or a pin. For example, if you left your phone on the desk and it wasn't locked, someone could walk up and transfer money themselves.
Right.
So now if you lock your phone, it's a little more secure. So the bank needs to know these things so they can do that risk analysis and decide, is this a safe transaction? So we give the banks all these methods to identify fraud and stop it while still keeping customers happy. Because mobile customers are very important customers to banks.
So I've been using PayPal for a long time. And back in the day when nobody really cared, it didn't seem important. I don't remember that they've really upped their security in front of me, but it sounds like behind the scenes, because right now it's still log in. Oh, let's give you a 4-digit pin. It's a lot faster and easier for you to get in. I don't want it to be faster and easier for me to get in, right? but I mean, is PayPal an example of a challenge here? We're behind the scenes. They got all kinds of stuff I don't know about, and you know, because it's so easy really to get into PayPal.
Yeah, now, I don't
with the mobile app especially.
Yeah, I don't work directly with PayPal, but I guarantee you that with the amount of transactions they do, being a market leader, they have all kinds of risk analysis going on in the background.
That we don't know about, yeah.
That you don't know about. Looking at behavioral characteristics, looking at your typical transactions, who you're typically paying, so they can identify fraud. The other thing that is a common misconception is that people like PayPal, people like banks, they want to eliminate all fraud. That's a lofty goal.
Yeah.
But it's really about how do you reduce fraud. The only way to eliminate fraud would be to stop doing transactions.
Right.
So you want to get to a level that's acceptable, and you want to invest to that point. The challenge is the bar keeps getting raised by hackers. They have more sophisticated means. For example, can I give you an example?
Please
Absolutely.
Do.
Okay, NIST, the government agency
yes.
that sets the standards for the government, just came out, and they shared their guidelines
yep.
for authentication. You've read about this.
Yes. And integrated with the FFIEC.
It was yeah. huge news.
I got to watch these acronyms now.
Because they use the term deprecated, their term, not mine, SMS. A lot of people at their banks, when you use a device you haven't used before, doing a transaction, that's funny, they'll say, we want you to enter a PIN, we're going to send it to you by SMS.
Yeah.
NIST said, no more.
It's probably sent through clear text.
That's not a safe way to do it, and hackers have developed ways to attack that in large scale. It's all about scale for hackers. So they've said, in our guidelines, we're going to move away from this. And so this is an example of where hackers are keep upping their game, and the industry will have to respond with more sophisticated means that don't put a lot of friction in the transaction.
Well, what about the end user? Let's talk about that for a second, because you're only as strong as your weakest link, and human factor is usually the weakest link. So you can put all these controls on the back end, hiding it from the end user to be more seamless and not create a lot of steps for them. But how do you get that mindset to change to common, what I like to call cyber hygiene? Don't share your passwords, don't unlock your phone. How are you approaching that problem with your solutions, if you are at all?
Yeah, we do exactly.
And if they are at all.
We're
not.
We're a bunch of derelicts.
Of
course we are. But you know, there's part of it you can't fix. You know, people always have a self-interest, and you know, they'll get an email, you just won, or here's a shipment, or they'll play on their fears. You're overdue and your account will be shut off. Ooh, I better open that. So people will always fall victim to social engineering, and there's no way to stop that. But what we stop is what the hackers do after you become a victim of social engineering. Here's an example. A really common attack that's, I shouldn't say common, it's a brand new attack that's becoming more common, is to attack mobile applications by getting you to download a fake app, a bad app.
Yeah.
Yes. Here's a notice from your bank. If you want to keep doing online transactions because of security, we think you may have been attacked. We protected you. Download this new application so you download it. It may not be the bank's real app, because what hackers will do is they'll download the bank's app. They'll reverse engineer it. They'll change it and put their evil code in it.
Yep.
Then they have to get it out on as many phones as they can.
Wow.
They'll put it on rogue stores. Then they'll do the social engineering. So a couple of solutions we have to stop that. One is we stop the hackers from reverse engineering the bank's code.
Okay.
So, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
It's called obfuscation or hardening. So it also stops it from piracy, which is not as big a threat right now for them, but it stops them from reverse engineering it. Or it makes it so much more difficult that they can't do it.
Go to the guy that's not protected. Right. Go to the next
guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just like how you protect your house
right.
if someone breaks into your neighbors. If they want, and they can eventually get in.
Absolutely.
Then the other way is when that mobile application is executing, is we look at the way it's executing. And if it's doing things it shouldn't be doing.
Oh, because you know what the pattern is for legitimate programs.
Yes.
Microsoft did that years ago.
Yeah.
They said, you know, Word opens and works a certain way, and if you had some kind of pirated version of it or something, it didn't perform the same way. They
just
looked
like
at the
that.
Behavior. Very interesting. Okay.
Exactly. If this application is trying to write a screen over the existing screen, a hacker would do that because if you enter a banking transaction, say I want to send $100 to Kansas, it's sending $5,000 to Eastern Europe, it's still showing you the wrong screen. There's no reason why that banking app would have two screens and have a screen overlay.
Yeah.
Or if it's writing to memory where it shouldn't or doing a keyboard action. So we identify all that and we say, whoa,
wow.
This should not be doing this, and we can stop the transaction. There's still the second step of you get a notice saying you can't complete the transaction, please call the bank.
Right.
And then when you call the bank would tell you, well, you may have malware on your phone, go to your local phone center. But we stop the transaction. It's only a few people that get attacked that way. But if you scale it towards, millions of customers, and the largest banks in America have 20 million plus each.
Right.
Mobile banking customers.
Oh, mobile
it's
only.
Huge.
Wow.
It's huge numbers. Yeah, it's huge numbers. It's becoming the number one channel.
Wow.
So it's becoming the number one place to attack. If you're a hacker, where are you going to go?
Yeah. Now, what do you think about biometrics in this space on my side of the end user space? So would it help if we, had something I know, something I am, and something I, what's the three things? Something you are, have, and...
Yeah. What you have, and what you know. Yeah, you know.
There you go. Yeah, those three things.
What you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know your password.
Right.
You might have a token or a PIN, OTP. Let's say you press a button, get an OTP, and then who you are.
Right.
Or what you are. It's expanding now.
Now, do you use that kind of stuff inside behind the scenes, or if what you do is incorporated on my side of it, wouldn't we all be safer? Hey, I'm Bank of America, and guess what? You're going to do it this way. I just don't want your business. I know they don't want to do that because they can take so much loss and say, I can write that off. But what I'm worried about is not Sharice's account getting hacked. I'm worried about every single account getting hacked simultaneously one day, and America's broke. I mean, it can happen. Eventually, somebody's going to figure out how to drain the federal bank, all right? So wouldn't it be better if we all participated on a local level? And I always go back to this on my show. All security's personal. It's all local. It's all now. Because you can only protect me so much, and then I got to take my step and say, you know what? I'm turning off my phone. Because like you just said, end users are going to make mistakes and do things, So any of those three-way authentications involved in what you do behind the scenes?
I agree with you 100%. People have a personal responsibility. And yes, it does. As we get more biometric methods to verify who you are, there's more information we can give the bank. So if you're able to fool or spoof, if you're a hacker, if you're able to cheat part of the system, we can still tell if it's really you by your face now. Tomorrow it'll be your voice.
Oh, good.
And then a couple of years from now, as the Internet of Things starts to grow and you have more devices, in the future, envision that we can tell if it's your Fitbit. If every time you've gone to the ATM, you've always had your Fitbit or some device at the Internet of Things, or you've always had your car nearby, and now your car has an IP address, your car
That's
has an
true.
Identity, we can say, hey, five of the things that have always been there during this transaction are missing. The bank can say, maybe it's an anomaly, but then they can raise the bar and say, okay, now we need you to identify yourself.
Yeah.
Who's good at that? Level.
Capital One's very good at that. I can't make more than two transactions in a week, and they're not calling me and shutting my credit card off saying, wait a minute, you don't usually get a manicure and a pedicure. What's going on? And and they turn you off, right?
Yeah.
And or if I travel and I fill up at a gas station that's out of state, I get a call right away.
Yeah.
I'm talking about real time.
Yeah.
And I'm very impressed by that.
Yes.
So this is kind of what's going on with your company behind the scenes. We're looking at real-time analysis of how people behave and saying, wait a minute, better turn that off. We better take a warning. We better do something.
Here's an example. When they call you, when banks call you, not all of them now, but increasingly when they call you to say, are you really doing this? They'll be testing your voice to see if that's really your voice.
Oh. Wow.
So, and that's another example of something behind the scene where biometrics, which you asked about, it will be used in the future.
Interesting. Well, they should test their voices. I can't understand half the people that call me in the first place. That's a whole different story. Offshore calling or whatever they're doing. But I am pleased that we're staying on top of these things.
Absolutely.
I agree with you that it can never be completely solved. And I think if you try to go that way, you're fooling yourself. And you're going to miss the ability to get what you can, you know. What's the next big thing that you're worried about when it comes to banking?
You know, it's just the scale of the attacks. It's some people use the term a whack-a-mole. As soon as you solve the problem, somewhere they attack somewhere else. So, and here's an example of that with the EMV cards. You've got your EMV credit cards issued by your bank now, and you have to insert it at the checkout instead of swipe it.
Oh, the chip,
Yeah, that chip.
Right.
The chip, the EMV cards. So because of that, fraud in retail stores is going to go way down. So you think the hackers are going to say, hey, we had a good run. Let's go lay in the beach somewhere.
That's true.
Yeah, not a chance. So they're going to attack banks more.
Right.
Find
so we
a
look at
these.
Because, I mean, they have all these resources. They're going to attack somewhere. So we look at the next place they're going to attack. That's why we're looking very hard at the ATM, which we think will be another channel they'll attack more frequently at. That's why I've referenced it several times. It's still a big vector for losses or a big source of losses for them. But there'll be more attacks. There'll be more sophisticated attacks. And we think mobile. There's about to be just a firestorm there because it's this emerging channel. People are using it. It's on their personal device. You talked about social engineering, big factor. So we look at these new methods of attack, and we always try and help keep our banks stay one step ahead of that.
Is there going to be a resistance from the consumer that the more points of identification you want from me, eventually I'm going to say, you know what, I'm done. I'm not interested. And maybe that'll make the mobile business back off a little bit. I mean, I know people that will not put their fingerprint on their phone. They will not do certain things that are biometrics. You know, they won't go through a checkpoint that has a
iris
scanner.
Yeah.
Because they're freaked out that, oh, my iris is in a file somewhere. Okay.
Yeah.
So I have a different thought of it, right?
What's your thought?
Well, my thought's open source. My thought, if all this stuff was not secret, it wouldn't be worth anything.
Yeah.
And then it would be a trust factor. We'd be back to, I trust you not to take my social security number, and you trust mine. Because if you take mine, I'm going to take yours. And so it kind of like a, you know, it neutralizes things. I know that's a fantasy in a way, but it's not, that type of behavior is not unheard of in other social situations. When you trust somebody, you engage in all kinds of behavior you wouldn't if you didn't trust them, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that it's secret, encrypted, and it's personal, people want more of it. Somebody hacked my website before I came here. I hope they steal my show. I'm happy for it, right? My show's, it's not worth hacking, right? But they just wanted to do it because they could.
Yeah.
Right? See? And this is what's going on. This is aggression to me, and it's violence to me. Right? It's at the lowest level. If I'm going to steal your bank account and mess up your life, that's violence.
Yeah.
See? And so we do have to stop it for that reason.
Yeah.
I'm all for a criminal being smart and stealing some money. But when you do it just to mess people up and ruin their life, that's a whole different person. And I think we see more of those people now. You know what I'm saying?
You know, a very good point. You're seeing more of all types of hackers, period.
Yeah.
But the ones that are a threat to banking and the financial system, they exist for one reason. Money, profit.
They're trying to make money, okay.
Think about billions and billions of dollars.
It's an easier criminal to profile in a way.
Yes.
You know.
They're easier to predict.
Yeah.
Although you still have the issue of banks and other organizations. We protect all types of enterprises. We go beyond banking. We're making a big move into healthcare. If you're one of those organizations, you have to protect 1,000 points of vulnerability, but the attacker can pick just one and put all their resources against that.
Right.
So if you look at game theory, it's very tough for the defender to begin with. Hackers aren't going anywhere. Their numbers are rising. They're incredibly sophisticated. But talking about, you know, sharing information, the more layers of information, the more reference points. If in the old days it was one, username and password. Then it became, you know, two, give me an OTP or a token that's far more secure, or do it by SMS, which isn't as secure. Then we started adding layers. So now we're up to, in the best case, we're up to about somewhere between 12 and 15 layers. We're going to 20 layers.
Wow.
Think 3 years from now, there'll probably be 50 layers. There could be 100 layers of reference points. And there's the computing power that exists now to look at all 100 of those and in real time, create a risk profile and say, is this a real person even if it's all publicly available. Wow. Does this fit the profile of a legitimate transaction? The ones that don't, then the aggravation you're talking about. Now, how much trouble are they going to give me just to do a transaction? I don't like that. Only do it to those people or those situations that are risky.
Higher
Everybody
risk,
else
right.
just walks right through TSA without even being looked at.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody wants to hack my bank account. There's no money in it. But if there was, I'd be an instant target, right? On the other hand, I'm quasi-public, and people know me and see me. So I'm at a little higher risk in one way.
For sure.
Right, so that's an analysis you have to make. John, this has been a fascinating conversation. We always learn something.
I've
enjoyed
it. Thank you so much for that. It's been a pleasure.
Give us John Gunn. Now give me your website again.
It's www.vasco.com.
Vasco.com, all right.
Yes.
All right, thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio.
My pleasure. I enjoyed it.
Pleasure, John. Thank you.
Thank you as well.
Oh, let's get a picture from Chuck here. Beautiful.
All
thanks.
Right.
Now, if you have a booth, you know, okay, so we're going to try and take a picture of your product or something like that, but...